Welcome back to Big Mouth Black Girl Podcast. And it's your girl Kay, that's K-A-Y, also known for Count Your Blessings, K-A-Y-K. So I just wanted to come back on and let you guys know that it's been a long time. It's been a long time coming. Y'all know I have to break out into a song here and there, but it's been a really long time, you guys, to be real. I should have posted episode one like weeks ago, right? But unfortunately, you see the way my life is set up, a lot of things have happened in the course of 2 or 3 weeks. So let me get into it. Let me tell you guys what I've been up to. I know you guys are wondering, hey, like, you good? What happened? Am I still flaking? I've got a crazy life, I must admit, and I am still navigating in this thing called life, so bear with your girl. Other than that, let's get into it. Please be advised that this is an uncensored podcast, which pertains profanity. We discuss controversial topics of race, religion, politics, culture, anti-Trump administration views. We definitely dive into the non-politically correct arenas on this podcast. So if this may not be suitable to you at the moment, due to the fact that you may have children in the car, you might want to wait until you drop them off. Or if you don't like any of the topics that I explained or the culture of my podcast, then you can, just like your Tinder, swipe left. I do like to explore realms of controversy in a very respectful, professional, and realistic manner. But without further ado, I give to you Big Mouth Black Girl Podcast. Oh my goodness. Sometimes, you guys, in life, when you're going through some like really rough situations, it really makes a sad comedic satire, like a serious drama. And let me tell you guys, the past 2-3 weeks have been filled with it. Okay, let me discuss in full detail of how dramatic my life has been. Now, this is not considering the fact that I was homeless with a 2-year-old daughter, and I was also pregnant at the moment because my family kicked me out like Jazzy Jeff from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. No. It doesn't consist of that type of drama. It is the after effects of being kicked out and then having to bring down my humility and try to, you know, take an extra dose of compassion and forgiveness for that whole entire situation that occurred and literally rocked my fucking life like no other. No. It's not just that. It's the fact that I lived with my mother for a year, and my stepdad and my 2 young sisters with my children. So we had to do this because of several reasons. I ended up having a eviction go on my credit like years ago, but it still hasn't fallen off. And a lot of apartment complexes do not want to rent to me, even though I have a decent paying job. It's not enough for them to associate me with, you know, them accepting my risk, right? On a business end, it is very, you know, it's very safe for them. On a humanitarian level, it is fucking my life up. But needless do I say, still I rise, right? So, in the words of Maya Angelou, so I moved forward and I saved up some money. I hustled and bustled, and the only thing that I could do at the moment is get a room for rent. So I'm doing that right now. Now, in this process of getting a room for rent, I was moving everything out of like my mom's place, and then I had a lot of stuff in storage rooms. And I do want to shout out to my sister-in-law. She held all of like my big stuff, like my TV and a lot of my books and a lot of my articles. She held that in her storage for literally like over a year. And I didn't pay her any money for storage because, of course, I mean, I'm homeless, you know what I'm saying? But she paid it. She didn't give me a receipt of, okay, now you owe this amount. She is such a great person, and I just want to say thank you for that. Anyway, so let's get into the nitty-gritty of why I'm even bringing up this in the first place, right? So I had to go to my mom's house to drop off my girls. For some reason, I had to do something. I don't recall what it was, but I needed to do something, and it was only for an hour, and I reached out to my grandmother, who said she would be able to do it. So I arrived with the girls, and, you know, I don't know what happened, but we started getting into like a little bit of an argument between me and my grandmother. Things started to get heightened, and then a little bit after, my mother arrived from work, and I heard the garage opening, and she came in, and she's like, "What is the noise for? What is the noise for?" And I think, oh, there it goes. There goes my memory, you guys. We were arguing on the whole entire perspective of respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means to me. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Y'all know the rest, right? So, shaka to be, shaka to be, shaka to be. Sorry, you cannot sing that song or start that song and not say the part where it goes shaka to me, okay? So, we were talking about respect because for the last few months prior to me moving out, I want to say 7 or 8 months, my sister, I call her my sister because even though she's technically quote unquote my half sister, we have the same mother, different fathers, because my mother and my father, I don't even think they were meant to be around one another except to have me maybe. But yeah, they do not get along to save anybody's life, okay? They are like Bloods and Crips. They're like the Republicans and the Democrats. It's just never gonna happen, right? So yeah, my mom and my dad didn't get along. They had me, and then my mom met my stepdad, right? And so they got together, they ended up having children, and then later on they got married. And so with this being said, my little sisters were born. Now, my 20-year-old sister, we've had a lot of disagreements. I've been through a lot personally in my life, and I've made a lot of bad decisions and was very not a good person back then because of the whole perspective that hurt people, right? And I was always told to repress the way I felt. But nonetheless, here comes my favorite movie of all times, which is going to be the Elsa and Anna. Let it go, let it go. Sometimes you gotta let that shit go, you guys. That's why I absolutely love that movie. But anyway, going back to what we were discussing and sticking to our main convo, which was the huge conflict that arose when I was at my mom's house and my grandmother was there. Now, she being my sister, she has not spoken to me in 7 to 8 months because she's been upset with my YouTube videos when I utilize YouTube as a way to get through me battling homelessness, right? And so I discussed a lot of private stuff, and I definitely expressed that on my YouTube channel, not with the perspective to like out anybody, but to tell my side. Because in my family, and mind you, let me give you the quick backstory. My mom's side is Jamaican, my stepdad is Jamaican. And there are certain perspectives when it comes to like mental health, when it comes to like showing who you are in a public sphere versus private sphere. It's very like secretive. It's like, if this is my business or the family business, and they want to portray like a certain perspective around friends, right? So instead of being real or saying, hey, this is the problem or whatnot, it's always like placated with like fronting. You know what I'm saying? Like straight up fronting. So anywho, getting back to the main subject, I utilize my YouTube channel and I kind of like, not kind of, I exposed everything. I documented everything. I showed everything through video. I went and did confessionals. I told my side of the fucking story because I knew that people were going to turn that shit around and lie. And I wanted to show my truth, and I wanted to, for the first time in my life, be transparent, even if it meant I was shaming myself and exposing my most vulnerable parts of my life by being real and raw. Okay, so I did that, which was just the most beautiful experience I could have ever had. And my stepsister was very upset with me about it. Even though I have made apology videos, even though I tried to explain my perspective, nonetheless, she was still holding a huge grudge against me because she felt like I was turning her father into a monster. Although that remains to be in question, I kept shit real. Like, you can get mad at me all you want to, but real is real. You know what I'm saying? Like, if somebody was an asshole, then they were just an asshole. It doesn't make them the scum of the earth or a terrible person. It just makes them, during that time, during that decision, they were an asshole. So anywho, going back to what I was saying, we got into this argument because she, referring to my sister, has not been talking to me. When I walk through the door, she'll say hi to the girls and she'll ignore me completely. I mean, walk right past me, give the girls a hug, and pretend that I don't exist. Now, at first, I let it slide. I would say hello anyway, and I would say hi, my sister's name, and then she would just be like, hi, mumble hi, or ignore me, or just be like, hey, or pretend as if I smell, or would try to leave the room quickly. I mean, the drama and the bullshit is so serious, y'all. And I was just like, look, I'm not that terrible of a person to where you have to avert me in every aspect that you do. And that's fine if you don't want to have a relationship with me. And it's totally fine if you don't want to, you know, engage in any type of conversation. But by the least, you should say hello and acknowledge someone's presence, because it's called human fucking decency. Right? And unfortunately, my stepdad is, I have a feeling that he's telling her all these negative things about me, and it's feeding her fuel of hate towards me. And that is why we have like this big barrier between me and her. And that's my perspective. Now, I'm looking from a parental perspective because I have two young kids myself. When my children get older, and even now, when they get into an argument, I make sure that they resolve that conflict, and in the end, they come together with love, right? I am not going to be that type of parent that sees apparent dysfunction between my kids and is okay with that dysfunction. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't like seeing people in conflict or having grudges because life is fucking short. That person can die. And then what are you going to say? I woulda, coulda, wish, woulda, coulda, shoulda. Like, no. So therefore, and also, you know, if anything were to happen to me as their parent, the only people that they have are each other to get through the rest of their lives together. They have each other because they are family. And that is the type of perspective and ideology that I have when it comes to family. Now, this is conflicting when it comes to my Jamaican mother's side of the family. My mother sees apparently that my sister is disrespectful. I have voiced it numerous times. Yo, like, I don't like this. You know what I'm saying? Like, Eva, my daughter, she sees this, and this is not okay. And countless times I'm being told, well, you know, I can't force her, or, well, you know, they're just angry because of this and that. It's excused, or it's given numerous different backings as far as why this type of behavior is quote unquote acceptable for the moment or okay. And I have a problem with that. I never thought that I could ever say this in my life, but I don't expect anyone to kiss my ass. I really don't. But by the very fucking least, I expect for you to treat somebody like a human, decent person. By just acknowledging that they are present is something that is not just respect. It's what you should do as a human being. But because of our perspectives are different, I got into an argument. And I'm like, I finally just hit my highest level of pissivity. Yes, pissivity. I got pissed off to the highest fucking degree. And I told my stepsister, or I should say sister, right? Because she refers to me as her stepsister. I told her, if you cannot say hello to me, then you don't say hello to my children. Because my children share the same fucking DNA in their veins comes from me. They came out of my womb. Okay, so the very least you can do is say hello to me. We don't have to engage in conversation, just say hello. And her response was, I don't owe you anything. I don't owe you anything. Nobody said anything about owing anyone anything. And this is the problem with humanity. People are not teaching their children how to be decent human beings with one another, even in disagreement. And so this is where I had this conflict, and this is where we got into a big argument, which led to me and my mother and my grandmother getting into a heightened argument. I ended up, you know, my mother started doing very just disrespectful things and pushing my daughter's head and telling her, hurry up, get your kids, leave. You got to get out. You got to leave. You're disrespecting my home. You got to leave. Now, this is where this family gets disrespect confused, because I will drive myself and go into the goddamn loony bin 5150, because people are misinterpreting disrespect with their disrespect. Now, this is what I find quite comedic, to say the least. I literally am trying to discuss and explain why I feel like I should at least be given a hello and not ignored as a human being. And yet people are saying, people being my grandmother and my mother, are saying that I need to just take it and accept it and it is what it is. And it is that type of fucking behavior which further exacerbates and causes individuals to be in domestic violence relationships. It causes people to have low self-esteem. It causes people to possibly even have depression because they don't feel worth anything and they don't feel like they're being seen. They feel invisible. They feel like they're not wanted or cared for. Now, this whole perspective of, well, you're in the house, and this was an argument brought up by my mother, excuse me. Well, if you weren't loved, then you wouldn't be in the house. Well, shit, I could put four 2x4s all around my head, and it's wood, right? So isn't that called, you know, a housing structure? Does that fucking mean that I could be treated any kind of way? The answer is no. Excuse me. The answer is no. No, you shouldn't be treated any kind of way because somebody allows you into their home. That's called abuse. And second, no, you shouldn't just take whatever someone has to give because you just have to accept it. You stand up for what you believe in. You voice your concern. And if that doesn't change, then by all means necessary, you do what you got to do. We got into this heightened disagreement, me and my mother going back and forth. She's trying to push me out of the house, talking about, you disrespectful, you ungrateful, and this, all this stuff. I'm not disrespectful because I want to put my foot down, nor am I ungrateful because I don't want to sit here and take disrespect from your daughters as a fucking human being, and I just voice my concern about it. So she says that I need to leave and get out the house. I'm leaving. I'm putting things together. She's trying to rush me. She's pushing my daughter in the back of her head. I told her, don't touch my kid, because if you want to really see a side of me that you've never seen, try me with my children and we'll see how far that goes. So, that heightens the situation. She stops pushing my daughter. I grab the food because I warmed up some hot lasagna and mashed potatoes and corn, and I put it into a container to take with me to finish feeding the girls. We're yelling. I'm holding my youngest daughter, who's 1 year old, Phoenix, and Eva is walking outside the garage with me. She's 3 years old, and she's walking right next to me. My mother is saying all this stuff. She's saying, I love you, Phoenix. I love you, Eva. I turn around and I said, don't say you fucking love them, because you don't know what love is, okay? You just kicked me and the girls out the house. Are you crazy or something? And so we're going back and forth. I ended up calling my mother a bitch. Yes, I did. I ended up calling her a bitch. And the reason why I called her a bitch is because when I was a child, I must have been like 4 or 5 years old. I remember my mom just like threw me to the streets, literally. She dropped me off in front of my dad's job when we were living in New York. And she just yelled outside with her friend at the time. I think her friend is named Sharon or Michelle. I don't know. I think it was Sharon. She goes, here, take her. I can't do this. Take her. And threw me in the middle of the street and made me feel like trash. And my dad was trying to figure out what to do. He had to work. You know, he had to just pick me up quickly. And I remember that feeling. And then when I was leaving outside the garage, I all of a sudden had that like, that experience again. I felt like I relived that experience, and it further pissed me off that my children were a part of this experience. And so I yelled back, fuck you, you bitch. And I did not. And to this day, I do not regret that at all, because of how I never wanted my children to go through that pain. And yet and still, they still did. And so she said something very like snide as the garage was closing. I got livid, you guys. I slid that lasagna, because in my head I'm like, if you want to treat me and my children as trash, let me throw this lasagna under your helm like you are trash. And I slid that lasagna under the door of the garage. Then all of a sudden, as me and my daughter are walking fast to the car, she comes out of the garage and has the hot ass lasagna in her hand and is running towards me. And I yell at her, stop. I have the baby in my arm. You cannot throw the hot food. I'm saying this to her. Eva is screaming in terror and crying. And I am trying to multiple times, because she has her arm cocked all the way back and ready to throw this hot ass piping lasagna at me and my children. And I'm yelling at her again, do not throw the hot lasagna. I have the baby in my arms. And without further ado, she throws the hot ass lasagna on me. It gets all over me. It gets on the baby, on her legs. She's screaming, and Eva is screaming in terror. I am lit as shit. I call the cops. I have the cops come. I let the cops know. I said I want to press charges. They told me, if you want to press charges, she's going to go to jail today. Is this what you really want to do? And I thought about it. I don't want to mess up this woman's life. I don't want to be the reason, as much as it would have been very, I don't know, karma in my own hands, I should say. And as much as I felt like she deserved to feel what I felt and even possibly experience homelessness by possibly losing her job, I decided to take the higher route and say, no, I'm not going to press charges, but I do want copies of this incident, so that way if anything happens again, I have something to stand by. And that is how that weekend went. The next day, I text my mother. I was like, yo, don't call me. Don't text me. Like, you are a horrible human being. I'm done with you and your entire family and everybody. I text her. I text my grandmother. And with my grandmother, I text her. I said, shame on you. Shame on you. You are the grandmother. You are the glue of the family. That is your role. Your role is not to agree with bad things. Your role is to stand up and say, no, this is wrong and this is right, because you have power in the family. And I told her, you know, I'm straight. Like, don't text me. Don't call me. Don't ask me how the girls are. You'll never see the girls. And I wrote this down to my mother. You will never see the girls until they are of age and I can mentally prep them for who you are. And that was the way that that went. And it was very unfortunate. It took a lot out of me. I was so tired. I was so mentally, emotionally just drained and exhausted. And I was done. You know, I was just really done. Very done. And that is how that ended. Now, this weekend was not as filled with drama. I haven't spoken to my mother in weeks. I went over to her house to go get my stuff from her. She had the fucking audacity to try to say hello to my kids, which I already told her, leave my kids alone. Like, you are not going to teach them that it's okay to be in a domestic violence relationship with fucking anyone, with a mom, with a dad, with anyone, especially not with you. So I was really pissed, but I didn't say shit, you guys. I must have grated my teeth until my damn filling came out, okay? Till my damn cap of my tooth came off, okay? From my cracked wisdom tooth that got fixed. Like, literally, I was grating my teeth and trying to be quiet because I knew that if anything, if I were to open my mouth just a slight bit, I would have broke her entire soul in one sentence. And I don't want to be that person. So I just quietly just grabbed the stuff that I needed, put the stuff in my car. And then my stepdad had the audacity to ask me, when are you going to get the rest of your stuff? I said, when I can. Okay, when I can. And I got my stuff and I left. I am not going to deal. Sometimes you have to just sever yourself from toxic people and from toxic mentality. And people who usually spew toxicity, those are the same individuals who do not grow in life. They don't get blessed often. You don't see them doing well either economically, or you don't see them doing well like helping other people or even being able to buy new homes or upgrade. Because of who they are, they will always remain in the situation, if not worse, than they've already are in. So that's my perspective. Now, this weekend was really cool. I ended up relaxing a lot because Eva and Phoenix were sick this week. And so I only got a few hours of sleep. So literally, I just stayed home catching up on sleep because I was so damn exhausted, you guys. So exhausted. And I braided some young girl's hair, which was awesome. A little bit of money on the side. And I just chilled. Like, I really enjoyed having these 2.5 days to myself because I'm not sure if you guys know, my children are with their dad some days, and some days they're with me, so we share custody. But I'm so happy to have a little bit of me time. It's going to do so much good for me, like mentally, emotionally, all that. So other than that, you guys, I just want to say that as a community, as a Black community, we have so much shit that's already against us. We have our race. We have the stereotypes. We have the stigmas. We have the fucking police, okay? And we have these people calling the goddamn cops on us just for being human beings, okay? Just for being Black people who are unapologetically Black. We have people calling the police because they don't think we live in their neighborhoods and using their pools. Next thing you know, they're gonna wanna fucking drain the pools. I don't know. This seems like a flashback to the 1940s. But needless do I say, we have all this shit against us. Why must we perpetrate? Like, we sit there and we perpetrate on our own family members. We continue the cycle of just dysfunctional and broken families. And that is why we cannot be successful, because we don't work together as a unit. And that is the thing that I just really am so hurt by, just Black families in general. Like Black families, like either from the Caribbean diaspora, African diaspora, or African American diaspora, like we gotta do fucking better. We've got to do better. We cannot let little petty shit get in the way of us working together so that way we can be stronger. There's powers in number. There is power in number, okay? And so, you thought, you really thought it was okay to try to step in between the middle of my return transaction and tell the person who was processing that, the poor girl who's working at Forever 21, that you wanted her to stop in the middle of what she was doing with me so that way she can help you with your purchase? If you don't get your ass back in line and be quiet and stay humble. Dear white lady in Forever 21, I'm sorry I'm not sorry. I'm sorry that you got told in front of the poor lady in Forever 21 who was working the cash register and all the three other individuals who were in line behind you. You definitely got handed a dose of shut the fuck up from a Black woman who did not give a shit. And this is how it goes. So I went to Forever 21, I want to say 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. You guys, something was in the air 3 or 4 weeks ago because everybody was acting just crazy. I don't know, y'all. I don't know if it's the shit that we're eating that's not real, but just people have been acting like damn fools out here in the street. So anyway, I go to Forever 21. I had some glasses that I wanted to return because they weren't really cute and I didn't know who to give them to. And I don't like to just collect random shit that I'm never gonna wear because ain't nobody got money for that, right? I'm a single mom of two girls. I have to try to figure out how to turn a dime into a quarter when it comes to paying my finances right now. So no, I'm not gonna keep just some $10 sunglasses lying around because that could be a shirt in the clearance section that I may need for work. So I went to return these glasses and there was some type of an issue. The glasses that had like the skew on it, or you know, that product number or whatever, it didn't match the ones that I had, but it was attached to it. So that's what I purchased it with. So we're having an issue. And it was about a good 5 or 10 minutes of us trying to figure out this transaction. The girl from Forever 21, she looked like she was brand new, like she just got that job that day and they did a crappy job of training and she's just like scared out of her mind. And she was really sweet. I was trying to make small talk or whatnot. I apologized to the people behind me and said, hey, you know, I'm almost done. But there was this one white lady who was huffing and puffing and about to blow my fucking afro down into a blowout straight hot comb press. Okay. She was very upset. Okay. So we're trying to figure this out. The girl's trying to call on the walkie-talkie. She's like, psh, I need some help with the Forever 21 cash wrap upstairs, please. And just quiet. Nobody's responding on the walkie-talkie. So she tries again. Psh, can I please get some help? I'm starting to get a line upstairs. Can you please send someone to help me with the cash wrap? Again, nothing. So this girl is sweating. She sees people tapping their toes and she's still trying to help me, right? So right when we're about to get things done and we're almost done finalizing things, the lady behind me, right as we're about to, you know, almost finish up, she gets right next to me and she says, this is taking too long. Like, we've been here for a long time. Can't she just wait to the side and just like wait until we're all done if it's gonna take this long? So I look to, you know how you know how it is when you get upset and you're a black woman, you know there's certain things that we do and it's universal. I cocked my head to the side and looked at the side of her face. Mind you, she didn't look me in my eyes that one time. I call that cowardice, okay? If you're going to stand up and say some shit like that, the least you can do is look at me. And what did we talk about in our last conversation? Acknowledge me like a human fucking being. And I feel like in our society, human beings don't want to acknowledge other human beings. They just feel like they can say and do whatever the fuck they want and have people just sit down and be quiet and accept it. Well, fuck that shit. I am not that type of person to be quiet and accept it. I've always been the person to say, no, I'm not going to accept it. And let me tell you why. I cock my head at her and I'm looking at the side of her head and she's dead serious about what the fuck just came out of her mouth. So what I do is I say, excuse me. Then she locks eyes with me. I told her, I am not going anywhere. Regardless if I'm doing a return or a purchase, I'm still a customer. So she's not going to do anything until I'm taken care of and then she'll assist you. She goes, well, it's taking too long. And I said, I understand, but I'm still going to be taken care of, just like you will be taken care of. Because obviously she didn't hear me the first time. So let me tell you a second time, right? So then she says something slick like, oh, so we're going to be here all day. And I looked at her and I said, you know what? It's so sad. There's a lot of stuff that people can be impatient about and very upset with. There's people who are dying all over the fucking world for real situations and real causes. And there are people waiting in line to make sure that they live and cross over borders so them that they could live and their families can live. But unfortunately, you just can't wait 5 minutes in a Forever 21 because it's going to rock and shake your world in dramatic ways. I'm so sorry for that. Yeah, you guys, I'm an asshole. If you didn't know, I definitely am a smart ass to a heightened degree. And so she looks at me and she goes, well, you need to hurry up. This and that starts yelling, right? 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 I should have recorded her. I should have recorded her and put it on my YouTube channel to show people how, you know, these people out here sometimes be acting, right? Because it's so funny how black people are perceived as irate and heightened or passionate, whatever fucking term you want to label us as, of being not quiet and submissive. So funny how people want to put us out there on mainstream society and even make memes of us. But when it comes to other individuals doing the same who are not black and doing it to a black person, it's supposed to be seen as subservience. It's supposed to be seen as normal, as this is your role and this is how you are supposed to be seen and treated and you're supposed to accept it. Well, you guys, I'm not gonna accept shit. I turned around and I told her, I said, you seem very, very passionate. I said, I need you to lower your tone. I said, excuse me, ma'am, you need to lower your tone. She goes, I don't need to do anything. I turned around really quickly again and I said, you know what? What you need to do is stand in line like everybody else. You need to shut up and you need to wait your damn turn. And she said, she looked like she wanted to say the N-word so bad, you guys. She looked like she wanted to say the N-word so bad. And she was so surprised that I responded. Like, the look on her face was like, oh my God, she responded to me in such manner. Like, oh my gosh, does she not know that I have white privilege? So to take away her white privilege card, I told her to her face, I know so many different police departments and I'm friends with a lot of sheriffs from different cities throughout Orange County? Do you want me to call the cops on you and let them know that you're making this poor young lady and this entire store very uncomfortable with your loudness? And it seems like you're being a little bit threatening. So do you want me to call the cops on you? She started laughing, and so did her mother. And so I started laughing too. I said, well, you know, you guys call the police on black people all the time. So if you don't want to be called the police on as well and utilize my privilege of knowing a lot of police officers, I advise you to sit and wait your turn. Thank you. And I got taken care of, and everything was all right with the world. But lo and behold, if she were to try to come for me, you guys, she would have got the business. And just like she was a coward for not looking me in my eye when she made that comment, she was surely a coward because she did shut the fuck up and she did not address the situation until my return and purchase was complete. So if you want to be out there slipping, and to this dear white lady in Forever 21, I'm a very nice black lady. Now, if you were to be in any other area, I'm very fearful for you because not that many people, not even just black women, but just people in general, they don't always have a response to use their words. So I just advise you, white lady in Forever 21, the next time you have strong feelings about, you know, waiting, you can talk about it, but by no means will you be disrespectful and try to disregard someone and think that it's okay for them to be pushed to the side so that way you can get on with your day because you think you're that privileged. In where I come from, if you were to do that to someone else, sometimes it would result into some physical altercations, which may have you waking up in a hospital without your purchase from Forever 21. All right, y'all, let's move on to the next topic. Hey.
Shame on her. They're trying to run game on her. Who, what, why, with the trigger?
You guys, I absolutely love that song. Wu-Tang, 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 Wu-Tang. In this segment of
Shame on Her,
if anybody knows Wu-Tang, they know that they use the N-word vicariously in and out of time. N-word, okay? I, for the sake of my channel and also for personal growth, I have decided not to use the N-word because I have been noticing it has been used and being used as a trending word, like friend or partner or whatever. And it's been like evident ever since, you know, I've been around children. If a lot of people don't know, I also work within the community with a lot of different juvenile centers, as well as group home and foster care agencies. And they use this term, the N-word, to refer to each other as like friends or homies, like a sense of brotherhood or sisterhood. And it's not just black people or black children or adolescents or teens that are using this word. It is also like Latino community is using this word. The white community is using this word. And I'm just not feeling that. I'm not feeling it at all. So because of that, and because I just don't want to use that word anymore, I think I've grown up and I'm like, you know what? I'm cool off that word. You know, I'm cool off that word because of its social and political significance and because of the ramifications that word has had and still has to this day. So I'm cool off of it. I said ghoul. I tried to put good and cool together and made ghoul. It's my new word. I'm ghoul off of that word. But I still love Wu-Tang. Like, I really do, even though I'm not going to say the N-word anymore. I don't want to listen to, like, if I were to try to listen to a cleaner version of Wu-Tang, it would be like, no, yo, cheap, like, it would sound so fucking weird. I still don't mind, like, the bad words and the F words and the S words and the MF words. Like, I don't mind that. But I just don't want that N word. I wish there was, like, a censor button in the songs that can give you, like, okay, you don't want to hear the N word. So then you click on the N word, and when it plays the song, it bleeps out all the N words. Oh my gosh, that would be so dope. I don't know if that exists. If it does, please let me know. Hit me up in my DMs and be like, yo, it does, and here's the app or whatever, because I so would utilize it. That sounds amazing. And if it doesn't exist and you're very smart and you can build software and you're like, hey, I could do that, can you break me off a little something? Like, break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar? Like, can I get a little bit of money? Like, I don't even want residuals. Just give me, you know, like $200,000 and I will be very happy, okay? But needless do I say, I'm getting into shame on a who trying to run game on a. And this shame on a is going to go to none other than the Pissy Pie Piper. As one of my favorite YouTubers will always say, Pissy Pie Piper. And his name is R. Kelly. I cannot stand R. Kelly. I think he is the most repulsive human being ever. Just ridiculous. Like, I've always had this weird feeling, like predatorial feeling about R. Kelly, even growing up and listening to his raunchy ass music. But to know the extent of the atrocities with this very controversial and widespread issue that's going through all social media, as well as a lot of news outlets, this sex cult. He's even got fucking the British news outlets looking at this. You know, the BBC is looking at the sex cult. Like, you know it's real and you know it's serious when the BBC is getting involved. You know what I'm saying? I absolutely do not like R. Kelly. I don't like him. I don't think I've ever liked him. I've always felt some weird vibes from him. And I didn't listen to it, I admit. I didn't listen to that song. I didn't listen to the song because I was too busy listening to like small snippets of it online and seeing people's reaction, which, let me tell you, I don't make my decision and my perspective and view on somebody based off of what someone else says. I like to get multiple sources. I like to do my research, and I like to come up with my own conclusion as to how I perceive that person, either good, bad, or indifferent. I'm able to make that decision on my own without being told or being, you know, influenced, because I'm a grown-ass person and that's what you do, right? So I saw a lot of people reacting to it. I watched a lot of YouTube videos. A lot of people were just saying the same thing I did. They were like, I feel no remorse for you. And some people felt bad and were like, oh, like he's really opening up about his sexual abuse and his rape when he was young. And I'm thinking, you know what? This man has had years. I mean, this man, I think he's old as dirt. Like, from back in Aaliyah times when, you know, she was singing the songs with him and Let Me Know and Back and Forth and Age Ain't Nothing But a Number. Like, you had years since then. I mean, back when Age Ain't Nothing But a Number came out, I was probably like four or five. Okay. And so I'm a little bit confused how you were like 25 then, which means you're probably pushing like 50, 60, and you still have the audacity to be a nasty old man. Okay, I've heard so many nasty things about, you know, his smell of his, you know, his penis is stinking, which it should, because the way I've heard he's been going around, you know, whatever you do in your sex life, I don't want to shame anyone and say, well, you shouldn't have sex with a man and a woman or this and that, because I have a respect for all sexual orientations, and whatever people do in their private sphere is their business and it is their personal business. What I have a problem with is when you have your personal business that goes against the legal system. You should not have children as young as 12 years old. in your bedroom. There is something very fucking wrong with that. Very sadistic. And I don't give a shit if you say, well, I was abused as a kid. That is no excuse as to why you're being a perpetrator. No excuse. I myself, and this is me for the first time in any social media outlet, I myself have been through molestation and rape in my life. I don't want to explain and go into great details, but I will never put my hands on any child sexually, any child. I wouldn't even want to date a guy who was trying to talk to me and he was like, what, 19? And I was 27 at the time, because I feel like you're still mentally not ready. You ain't ready for this jelly, okay? I don't think you're ready for this jelly. I don't think you're ready for this jelly. Like, I don't think you're mentally capable to understand the full extent of sex, the ramifications of getting your feelings caught up in sex. And it's just, it doesn't seem right to me. Like, it doesn't seem right. Like, I'm a grown woman. I need a grown man. I'm not going to be with a boy. And that's why I kind of don't understand the whole Black China thing. Why she chooses such young men. And actually, you know what? She chooses young men because they're easy to manipulate. You know what I'm saying? I think if it was a grown man with something going for himself, then, you know, she would probably not get the time of day because he'll see right through her and be like, I don't want that. But because she goes for the most vulnerable individuals, people with low self-esteem or people who don't even have a developed self-esteem yet and they're still young, those are the people she goes after. Me, I'm different. I'm different. Yeah, I'm different. I'm different. Yeah, I'm different. I'm different. Yeah, I'm different. Pull up to the scene with my ceiling is A. Okay, sorry, I had to break out. That was just, I love that song. So, I'm different. I don't want people to think that because, you know, I know that I'm not acting in a certain way that grown men or a person who says, I want to get married and do grown people things is going to be willing to do. I want a man who's like that, or anybody, man, woman, somebody who is I'm attracted to mentally and spiritually and emotionally. So getting back to this whole shame on R. Kelly, I was listening to clips of I Admit, and there was a part in that clip where he explains that he can't read or write for shit. I'm so... Oh my gosh. I'm sorry, you guys. I'm sorry. You know, in my mind, I was like, look, don't laugh at that. That's not funny. I can't, you guys. I can't hold it back. I can't. I'm gonna get a brain aneurysm trying to hold it back. Oh my gosh. When he said I can't read or write for shit, I was just like, it reminded me of the Wendy Williams show. I don't watch Wendy that much anymore. I used to, but I'm like a little bit cool off of Wendy because of various reasons. I'm gonna get into my dear Wendy Williams, and you guys will know the reason why I'm kind of not as like a Wendy Williams like fan. I'm like not into her anymore like I was before. I'll talk to you guys about that soon. But I remember I was watching either a clip from Wendy Williams, because I don't watch the show, but I was watching a clip because there was like something on my timeline that was saying Wendy Williams crying over R. Kelly or some shit like that. And so I was just like, why is she crying over R. Kelly? My first thought was like, did they used to date or something? And so I clicked on it and I saw the first show when she was like literally in tears and she's like, he can't read. Oh my god, I was like, now this woman is stupid as hell, because Why are you crying over a grown-ass man who's saying he can't read or write? You are a grown-ass man. If you don't get you on that fucking reading rainbow, if you don't get on the goddamn magic school bus, if you don't take your ass and find you some Hooked on Phonics or a tutor, you got all this goddamn money, you mean to tell me you don't know how to read? Oh my gosh. I didn't feel no type of sympathy. I'm looking at Wendy Williams crying like, you are stupid as hell too, okay? Because I don't understand. I don't understand. If I had half the money that this man had, trust and believe, I would own a goddamn library. I would, man, oh man, I would go to Algeria and find the goddamn books, the lost books of Algeria, so that way I could find out where we came from and our pride and all this other stuff, and I'd build a separate, like, African/Africa diaspora library where people could go and see, like, the truth and whatnot. That would be me, not crying over no bullshit talking about I don't know how to read. If you don't get you a tutor, or go back and get your GED and get a tall glass of shut the fuck up. And this has nothing to do with the situation of you touching these young babies and children. I have nothing for you. You going to try to use that as an excuse? Clearly, you obviously don't know how to critically analyze either, or come up with an inductive and deductive reasoning argument. Sit down. So that's how I feel about that. In regards to his whole perspective of, like, he admits he's questioning, what is a sex cult? Really? What is a sex slave? Really? It's everything that it says in the dictionary. If you look up sex slave, or if you look up any type of article that explains sex slave, it will tell you. But then again, R. Kelly doesn't know how to read, so he won't understand what that is. But so bad. So I'm very, very disgusted by this. It makes me shamed to be a Black person, because now I have to associate him into the hall of shame on a, because shame on him. And now when people talk about R. Kelly, I feel like I sometimes don't even want to claim, like, damn, like, ooh, he is Black, or I'm Black too, like, because I feel like that is just disgusting. What's more disgusting is the Black community's lack of responsibility when it comes to any child being sexually abused who is a little kid. Now, Justin Jay touched on this a little bit. He is a part of the For the Culture podcast. Shout out to him, as well as with Adrian, the librarian who's also with Adrian Expressions. Shout out to him as well. I want to let you guys know that I'm very upset with the fact that our community, our Black community, blames the victims for these atrocities instead of blaming the parents who are not parentally, like, involved in their children's lives and well-being. There should be no reason why a 15-year-old child is going to take a fucking airplane from where she's living, okay, in Chicago, all the way down to Florida. There's no excuse. And the girl is missing for, like, weeks, and then she has to go home to check in and then leave again. How is that possible? I know if I had my girls, they're not going to be sleeping over anyone's house unless I know them. So needless do I say, if we fast forward it, why in the hell and where are the hell are these parents, and why are they not being involved? That's the number one problem I see, okay? And if these children are, like, a product of, like, dysfunctional families, or if they're a product of, you know, people who don't really care about them, then that makes them a target. It makes them an easy target for him to get involved in his little sex cult. Okay, which is very sad, which goes back to the families taking fucking responsibility and being real and taking care of their own, right? Instead of having this perspective that, oh, it's the victim's problem, he turned you out. Or I even heard the most disgusting perspective, I think it was on YouTube, where I was reading a comment where someone said, well, some kids are just born sexualized or hypersexualized. Some kids are born hypersexualized. I was like, you know what? You just need to come out of the screen so I can get you upside your head one time. What the fuck are you talking about? Like, children are taught certain things. They don't just come out the womb saying, oh, I want to have sex. Like, that is not a part of their thought process. Their thought process is, are you going to feed me? Are you going to clothe me? Are you going to take care of me? And are you going to play with me and show me love? Like, that's literally all that they see and all they want, not to be touched. They obviously had that hypersexualized perspective because they were probably victims of molestation or rape when they were young. And so it gives them that sexual heightenedness that they never had prior, which makes them promiscuous as they get older because they were exposed to it as a young child. So their whole view of the world is tainted. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is how people really think, and this is why certain situations like this persist. And because in our culture, in the Black culture, they don't want to talk about these issues. So bringing this up to the forefront is something that the Black community does not want to talk about. It's like, you know, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil type of shit, which is so detrimental to these children and so many different thousands of children. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of children are sexually touched every second. And you mean to tell me that this is an alarming situation and we don't have it where children can feel safe or feel in a safe space to talk about what they've been through or even find out ways in which we can prevent these measures on a legal level, on a social level, and police this from happening to other children? This is so terrible, you guys. So terrible. And we got to do better. We need to do better. And being quiet and turning the other eye or throwing a Bible verse is not going to help it. I'm just saying, y'all, it is really, my goodness. R. Kelly, I hope the feds come for you. I hope you get a sealed indictment. And I hope that you die in that prison cell. I hope you don't see a little bit of lick of freedom or life. You need to be locked up. You need to be thrown away the key. And this is me coming from a social worker perspective, because I, as a social worker, I see the good in people, but I also know that there are some very evil and destructive ways that human beings can be and not even care because they only care about themselves. And you, R. Kelly, you are the worst. You are a demon. You are a legion of demons. And I hope that you don't ever, ever do this to any more children. And I hope that you get what's coming for you. Because karma, she comes back like a laugh that nobody has. And when she comes for that ass, comedically, she's coming and there's no stopping her. So that's my perspective. Shame on you, R. Kelly. Shame on a R. Kelly. Shame on a R. Kelly. I'm still here. Oh my goodness. I just want to thank everyone for listening to Big Mouth Black Girl Podcast. I'm really excited to get this back on the map. I am more so excited because this is like a platform that I utilize to discuss certain things that really bother the shit out of me or really make me laugh. So I guess this is like the polar opposite podcast. You either going to get some really heavy and profound shit, or you're going to get some really like gut-wrenching, hollering, laughing, almost peeing on yourself type of material. I don't know. I don't try to go that deep, but sometimes I just do. And so I just want to thank you so much for your support, for listening, for being intrigued, and for, you know, lending your ear, right? I know that I haven't really did any like topics discussing music or any up and coming concerts or books. Usually I break into a segment of the arts because I love to engage in music and poetry and books and film. But you guys, the last 3 weeks have been filled with moving, starting a new job, school, school assignments, single mom, sick children, and trying to do a mountain full of laundry. It's like a mound over here. I'm literally looking at my laundry basket and thinking, like, shit, how am I gonna get this all done? But we will get it done because I need some clean drawers for work, okay? Dirty drawers is not okay. And other than that, I'm excited. I can't wait for you guys to listen to my second episode, which I'm gonna touch base. It's gonna be like a very serious topic, but I am gonna bring in some lightened mood topics as well because I just love to do that. And hopefully I can do a segment on Catch You Slipping when I discuss, you know, with white people in my community, have a little discussion about black people and black culture and white privilege, because sometimes we need to engage in discussions instead of being so segregated. So anyway, I'm deep as shit. I love life, and hopefully we got a chance to bond a little bit. I hope to hear from you guys soon. If you want to reach me, you can reach me on my social media. I have my Instagram, which is Count Your Blessings, K-A-Y. That's Count Your Blessings, plural, K-A-Y. You can also reach me on my Instagram for Big Mouth Black Girl Podcast, or my Twitter, Big Mouth Black Girl. Or you can reach me on my Twitter of Count Your Blessings K, or on Facebook. I'm basically everywhere. But do I utilize my social media all the time? And do I post shit all the time? Probably not, because I'm barely getting through this whole entire situation of like transforming into work and school and motherhood. But once I find my groove and my pattern, you guys, I'm going to show you guys more love, because I really do appreciate you guys. I really do love you guys. I don't use the word love like just, you know, just like water. I really, really love you guys, because it takes a lot of great human beings to listen, to respond, to be engaged on matters that deal with humanity and deal with a way in which we should all treat each other in a very humane way. If you see someone who is homeless out on the street, don't just walk past them. Try to see if you have anything in your car, anything in your possessions like water, or if you have an old blanket that's clean that you don't use or something, and give it to them. Or even if you don't have anything to give to them and you don't feel comfortable giving them money, if you have enough money, go ahead and try to buy them like a few salads or meals and bring it to them in a bag and say, look, I'm sorry. Like, is there anything I can do to help you, like, or resources? Or call 211 and ask them of resources where they could possibly go. Write it down and see if maybe you can, if you feel comfortable enough, take them to a shelter or help them out. Or if you can't do all of that because you're very busy, the least you can do is look them in their eyes, and that makes them feel like you care, that you see them, and that you acknowledge them, and you tell them, I hope everything will get better. And that means the world. We need to acknowledge each other as human beings and stop being disrespectful and stop being degrading. Thank you, guys.